Let us continue in listening for God's word for us this morning. We will be reading from the New Testament passage of 2 Thessalonians, not a book that we Protestant Presbyterians like to read very much, but it is a book that is talking about the worries of a community about had they missed out, had the day of the Lord already happened, what had happened to those who went before them, what was happening to them, what would happen to those who were coming after them. So this was a book that was trying to help that, give some reassurance in that. Our reading this morning comes from the second chapter, verses 1 to 5 and 13 to 17. Let us listen for God's word. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good word and work. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, be with us this morning in our contemplation of your word for us. Help those words of comfort and be with us and strengthen us in our own doubts and in our own questions. Help us to learn from the saints, from all those who have come before and who are around us now. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we gather with many of our Protestant family around the world, remembering that it's All Saints' Day this past week, and remembering the saints that have been a part of our own community. This is a relatively new thing for me and for the Protestant church in general. It was a thing that we kind of left behind as Protestants when we split from the Roman Catholic Church. We said, you can keep that. That doesn't seem like worshiping God. It seems like worshiping people. But we've come to realize that that's not at all what it is, and that it's okay to remember those who have come before, and it's actually a good thing to remember those who have come before and to learn from them and their example. So for us, we're not quite sure still what to make of this word saint. We often mean, when we say saint, that we're putting somebody up on a pedestal and saying, wow, they're somehow way different than we are. They're able to put up with something I would never put up with. They're able to make their way through a difficult time that I don't think I could ever do. Those kind of things. So saint sometimes seems like an elevated thing. And that can come from the tradition of the Roman Catholics, where they have this very well laid out plan for how one becomes a saint. There are all these steps that have to be met before, in the Roman Catholic tradition, somebody can be called a saint. And so for us, maybe we're drawing a little bit on that idea, that there's all these things that one must do to be a saint. But when we look around and we think about who has really been influential in our lives, these are actually people who are saints. People who have come before, people who are living now, these are people who are influencing us and helping us to know who God is and how God works. And that is who a saint is. They don't necessarily need to be dead, although we learn a lot from those people as well. But we need to remember that saints are all around us. In the New Testament, Paul calls people who are living and working around him currently the saints. He doesn't really refer to saints as people who came before. He talks only about the saints that are called to do God's work right now. So we need to balance our understanding now of saints as people who are past, but also to remember that there are saints living and moving among us as we are working and living now. So this morning I invite us into a time of reflection on who are saints. Who are saints for you? Who are people who have been very influential for your own growth in your life, in your life of faith? So I'm going to start with let's go way back and look into the biblical characters. Who in the Bible have been people who have been mightily influential in how you understand who God is and how God works? For me, when I ask that question, there's so many names. There's so many great stories of people who have done great things that are lifted up in our scriptures. And people like Deborah, the judge, who was able to do this job that usually was reserved for men, but she was able to go out and lead this group of people and be a judge for them. Esther, who stood up in a time of great turmoil for her people. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who decided to say yes enthusiastically to a call that seemed very difficult. And the beloved disciple described in John, who stood near Jesus and was with Jesus throughout all that Jesus did. These, for me, are great people of faith. Among all that there are in this Bible, those are ones that came to mind immediately for me. When we move a little bit more closer to our times, we're looking at ancient figures that began the church. Who are people that you think of that are influential in how you understand God and how God works? Again, for me, when I thought of that question, I thought of people like St. Gregory of Nyssa, one of the Desert Fathers, who probably for most of us doesn't come to mind that quickly, but for me became hugely influential when I went to seminary and learned about the idea of the triune God living in community, giving and receiving mutually. He and the Desert Fathers were influential in coming up with this understanding of big Greek word, perichoresis, which is just this word that is meant to show it's mutual. God gives and God receives of God's own self. And that, for me, is this fantastic idea that I could go on and on and on about. If you want to talk about it, let's talk about it later. But that is a hugely influential idea for me in understanding who God is, how God works, and how I'm supposed to live as a Christian. So that's somebody who has really influenced me in my own understanding. And then from my own background in Spanish literature, people like St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila, they're writers who are able to really describe in very vivid ways this other side of knowing God. I love to think, and I love to study, but it's hard for me to get in touch with my inside emotions and understandings of God in that way. And these two are writers who have gone way the other way than what I go. So when I read their writing, they push me to see God and understand God in a new way. For that, I am deeply grateful. So those are some people from a little bit more ancient times. Then I bring us a little bit more forward into more modern times. Who are people for you that are from the more recent history? People like MLK or JFK, people in your family that you were maybe lifted up here today or that you remember with great gratitude. For me, people like my grandmothers, who were deep women of faith in completely different ways. They both gave me different models of how to be women of faith. And then who are people that are living today, moving in around you, or people that are in our current day that are important for you? I have a couple of theologians that I love to quote all the time. One's a church historian named Walter Brueggemann, who's also a theologian and writes beautifully. There's Eugene Peterson, who writes prolifically about not only the Bible, but also how to understand who God is. Got lots of pastors and friends who are around me working and doing things that are amazing that show me how God is working today in this world? So I give you these questions to help you think, who are your saints? Who are the people who help you be a person of faith, a child of God, growing and living and always improving in who God would have you to be? When you think of your own people of faith, people who are saints to you, what do they tell you? How did you choose those people? What theme runs through it? Are there themes that run through it? And are there people that are missing? It's easy for us to think of people who kind of build up what it is that we like in ourselves, who help validate something that we think, an idea that we think, or who help us to kind of say, yep, I'm doing that right. I do what this person does. But who didn't you name or who didn't you think of who might challenge you to think in a new way? Who might get you to move outside your comfort zone? Who might ask you, is your understanding of God really the understanding of God that we all should hold together? It's easy for us to push those people away because it's harder for us to really listen to their questions for us and how we understand God. So notice as you're thinking through who are your saints, are there any holes? These saints, these people who have come before, these people who are with us now, help us to know tradition. Tradition, the great word that was brought up in the New Testament reading for this day. I can't hear that word without thinking of Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition, can't help it. But there, that is a great piece of art that helps us to understand both sides of tradition. Tradition can be this thing, this great thing that can anchor us, that can help us to be grounded and know who we are as we move into a future, move into the present and into the future. But tradition can also be an anchor in a bad way. It can hold us down. It can hold us back. It can keep us from ever changing. Tradition is not meant to be static. Tradition is not meant to be dead. It is meant to be living and lived. If we use it to only look backwards, to only go, oh, that was so good. Oh, remember that time? Those were better times. That was easier then. Remember, hindsight always looks better than present or future sight. So we look back and we glorify that what was. And maybe that's not actually what happened. Maybe that's not actually how it was, but that's how we remember it, and so it looks better. So if we're only looking back, it's not really helping us to live into the present and into the future. Tradition is meant to be lived and living. That is what both of our passages for this morning help us to explore. The people who were coming back to rebuild the second temple were coming back from exile, were meeting up with people who had been living there all along and who remembered what was. We have these new whippersnappers coming back going, hey, we need to redo this. We need to build this up. We need to do it all over. And we have these young, older folks going, wait a minute. We already had something here, and it was really good. Whatever we're going to do next, it's not going to be like that. It's never going to be the same. Well, Haggai says, you're right. It's not. It's not going to be the same. It's actually going to be much, much better. Hard to imagine right now, but it is. Trust it. Trust God. God will do the work to open the purses. God will do the work to get the resources necessary to make what's coming next better. So remember that. Remember what was, because that will help you. That knowledge will help you remember that God is the God who can do that work. If you don't have that background, if you don't have that history, it's hard to know who God is, and it's hard to trust that God will do that again. But if we hold on to that idea of who God was then, that helps us to know who God is now and who God will be into the future. Similarly, that people in the being addressed by the book of Thessalonians were afraid that what they had heard about the coming of the Lord had already happened. They had gotten all that they had heard about what to expect. And so they just got caught up in their fear and they forgot that they had already heard a lot from the people who had come before them and from Paul and those who followed Paul about what to expect. They're being reminded, you've heard this. You've learned this. Trust it. Tradition is there to help us to know who God is. The God shown to us in the Haggai passage, the God of steadfast love who provides for God's children. Tradition is there to help us to know how God acts in generous and giving ways of providing above and beyond what is needed, in abundance, in love, acts of great love. Tradition is there to let us know who we are. We are called children of God, all of us. Tradition helps us to know, what does that mean? And tradition is there to help us know, how do we act in response to that knowledge? How should we respond to being loved children of God? Tradition helps us to know that. We have examples of all these great saints that have come before us. How did they respond to knowing that? That helps us know how we should respond. God provides us with all these saints, those who came before, those who are with us now, to help us to know our tradition, the lived and living tradition that helps us to know that we are children of God, loved and blessed, and we are to live lives of joyful response to that knowledge. Let us be saints to each other. Let us be saints to those beyond these walls. Amen.